What happens when you're tasked with building the foundation for millions of lives, but then like our 300 million just vanishes from your budget overnight?
Yeah, it's a nightmare scenario, honestly.
Right. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We've taken a stack of your sources, specifically the Western Cape Department of Infrastructure's 2024-25 annual report to citizens.
And we are really looking at how a massive government entity balances delivering critical stuff, you know, like roads and schools and clinics.
All while navigating severe budget cuts and unpredictable environmental challenges. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because the core tension of this report is that constant friction between these massive goals and some incredibly harsh financial realities.
Yeah, and those realities were, I mean, they were particularly brutal this past year.
Definitely.
The department spent nearly 92% of its allocated budget, but they faced these massive unforeseen hurdles to actually get there.
Like what, exactly?
Well, they got hit with late funding for flood-damaged roads, for one, and then National Treasury implemented a sudden R300 million cut.
Wow, that's huge.
Right. And it directly impacted housing and informal settlement upgrades.
It's basically like trying to finish remodeling your home, right? But the bank suddenly pulls your loan just as the roof comes off.
That is a great way to put it.
You still need a roof, but now you have to figure out how to build it with whatever spare change is just, you know, left in your pockets.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that massive cut forces a critical pivot. It shifted the organization's mindset.
Pivot from just spending money to, what, optimizing?
Yeah, relentlessly optimizing the resources they actually had. Because despite losing that R300 million, the department still managed to facilitate over 9,000 housing opportunities.
Wait, really? Over 9,000?
Yeah, they didn't stop building. Scarcity actually became the catalyst for optimization.
But surviving hundreds of millions in cuts isn't just about spending less. I mean, it requires physically altering how the infrastructure operates.
That's what.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I have to push back a little here. Looking at the report, they're installing battery energy storage systems and maintaining boreholes left over from the water crisis.
Right, the BSS systems.
Yeah. And to me, that sounds like they're just putting really expensive Band-Aids on a failing national grid. How is that genuine future-proofing?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it looks like a Band-Aid, but it's actually a systemic decoupling.
Decoupling? What do you mean?
They aren't just surviving load shedding. They are permanently lowering their baseline operating costs. Take their deployment of time-of-use smart metering systems.
Okay, I saw that. How do those work compared to regular meters?
So a standard meter just spins as you use water, right? But these smart meters monitor flow second by second.
Oh, so they catch things immediately.
Exactly. If water is flowing steadily at 3:00 a.m. when a school is completely empty, the system flags a leak instantly.
Wow, that's incredibly smart.
Yeah, it saves thousands of liters before a human ever even steps on site.
So transitioning from reactive maintenance to these proactive smart meters, it's like upgrading from checking your car's oil only when the engine starts smoking.
Right.
To having a dashboard sensor that tells you you're a quart low before you even leave the driveway.
Exactly that. They are baking this resilience right into the concrete. You see it in the new McCasser Primary School and the Ladysmith Clinic.
Which are major completions this year.
Yes. These aren't just new buildings. They are designed from the ground up to withstand systemic shocks by moving from reactive maintenance to proactive resource management.
But I mean, you can't build a resilient, smart building with battery storage without a highly skilled workforce to actually lay those grates and run those wires.
Precisely. The physical infrastructure absolutely requires human infrastructure.
So what does this all mean? We're reading an infrastructure report. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the most impressive statistics aren't actually about concrete or steel.
No, they really aren't.
They're about people. Like, they didn't just meet their diversity goals. Women now hold over half of all senior management roles, which is past the national target.
And on the ground level, they generated over 3,000 jobs in transport infrastructure alone.
That's a lot of jobs.
It is. But they aren't just handing out temporary low-skill work. They actively trained hundreds of emerging local contractors.
Right, and they enrolled youth apprentices in plumbing, electrical work, bricklaying, all of that.
Yeah. And it really pays off.
Yeah, the report noted that 32 electrical apprentices even got their Red Seal certification this year.
Which is a huge deal.
Right, for those who don't know, that's basically the gold standard, proving they are fully qualified, globally recognized artisans.
Which is life-changing for those apprentices. By training local youth to that high standard, they are creating a self-sustaining local economy.
Because the skills stay there.
Exactly. These are top-tier skills that remain in the community long after the heavy machinery leaves and the scaffolding comes down. The building is finished, but the community's capacity to build and maintain is permanently elevated.
I love that. The big takeaway here is that budget cuts actually forced faster modernization.
They really did.
This report is essentially a masterclass in how large organizations, and honestly, even individuals, have to adapt to economic and environmental unpredictability.
Definitely. You do it by prioritizing resilience and investing heavily in human capital.
Because when the budget shrinks, your foundation better be strong and your people better be adaptable.
I couldn't have said it better.
So we'll leave you with this final thought. Think back to that half-finished house with the missing roof we talked about earlier.
Right, the one you're trying to remodel with spare change.
Exactly. If a massive government department can successfully pivot to battery storage and leak-detecting smart meters under immense sudden budget pressure.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It really does. What untapped money-saving efficiencies might you be overlooking in your own household or business?